In a world of conflicting values, when questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church.
Thank you for joining us again this morning for the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church. My name is Pastor Ken Keltner. I'm the pastor of Brookside Baptist Church, and I'm in studio with our producer for the Word for Life, Jack Gardner. Jack, good to see you here this morning.
Nice to see you, Pastor Ken.
Yeah. And wow, what's happening in the summer? Here we are, Monday, July 18th.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible how fast the summer is going by for us here, and
not that we are ever surprised by that.
No,
but
exactly. And I hope you've had a great summer. Trust that your walk with the Lord as believers has gotten stronger through each week, each day. And so we trust that our short time with you will be a blessing and encouragement to you today. If you've joined us, we've been going through the book of Joshua. Joshua, the understudy of Moses for about 40 years, one of the two spies who had a great message of hey, God's going to give us this land, he and Caleb, and then the 10 other spies. They're listed in Scripture. We don't really focus too much on them because their report was one of doubt and discouragement that God would actually give them the land. The giants are too big, the cities are too walled, and so forth. But Joshua and Caleb, God used in a great way. And then, so when the Lord took Moses to himself, Joshua became the great leader of Israel into the promised land. And one thing we've talked about and mentioned is that when a great man of God dies, God doesn't die. Mm-hmm. God continues his work, his plan. The sovereign creator of the universe is working his plan, and Joshua was that man. And Joshua had great faith, but also we've seen that there was some fear and trepidation there, Jack. I mean, he, four times, don't fear, in Joshua chapter 1, don't fear.
Mm-hmm.
You keep going, you keep, I'm with you all the way.
The Lord kept giving him a constant reminder, because he knew he would struggle with that.
And you think of it, Jack, we can all struggle with fear.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm even reminded of Paul when he went into Corinth the first time on a second missionary journey. You read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he went in trembling and with fear. Well, you want to talk about the nether region of a dark city, Corinth. I mean, that'd be like us going into San Francisco. And you got to go into the debauchery and the real difficult areas, and you're going to give them a gospel message. I mean, there is fear that creeps in. I tell people all the time, I got that yellow streak that'll shoot down my back.
Well, don't we all? I mean, yeah. We all go through that. You know, it's so normal and natural, and yet, you know, we're to push through it. And that's the difficult part. But, you know, that's when you rely on the Lord through faith and not our own strength, right?
Exactly. And it's interesting how many times we see in Scripture, fear not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he hadn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound or a disciplined mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so, absolutely. And so, what a great reminder, you know, and great challenge it is as we go through this book of Joshua. We find ourselves right now in chapter 2 where Joshua is going to send a couple of spies in. Yes, God's given him the land, but Joshua understands that he wants to do his own diligence to make sure in the planning of how they're going to go in to the promised land, and especially with Jericho. And that's where we come in contact with Rahab, as she's known throughout Scripture, Rahab the harlot.
Mm-hmm.
And Jack, her faith is going to definitely outweigh her fear. And what she knew about God, she'd only heard.
Yes.
She'd only heard all the reports of this God of Israel. And it changed her life, and we're going to see that. I'd kind of like to begin, though. She is one of two women only that are mentioned in the Great Faith chapter of Hebrews chapter 11. You know, you talk about that whole chapter is all about those who were totally trusting the Lord, even if it meant putting their own life on the line.
Which she definitely did.
Oh, she did. We're going to get into that.
No doubt.
But I think that the spiritual law of Scripture, Jack, is that disobedience actually reveals our unbelief, but our obedience to God is evidence of our faith. You know, I think the writer of Hebrews wanted to really convey to the readers in that first century that salvation has always been by faith alone. Many folks, again, during the time of the writing of this New Testament book, had been impacted by Judaism, which was teaching that salvation is earned by works. It's earned by ceremonies, rituals, morality. You see the word circumcision that always comes up. And you go back to Acts 15, and the leaders got together, and they really nailed it down. What is salvation? Is circumcision involved in it? And they came away with, no, it's not.
Nope.
It's by faith and faith alone. And we don't really deal with that aspect of salvation today like we deal with people saying you got to be baptized to be saved, or you have to do this to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said it so well. He said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No one can come to my Father except through me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the message of the New Testament is summed up so well by Paul in Romans 3:20 when he says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified. Our justification is only through Christ Jesus. We're clothed in his righteousness the moment we come to trust him as our personal Savior. And all throughout the New Testament, we're told salvation is not by works, but it's by grace through faith in Christ Jesus alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Jack, I'm so grateful. I, you know, when I woke up this morning, I'm thanking the Lord for my salvation. Because an individual is justified and declared righteous in God's sight only through Jesus Christ. So the message of the New Testament has been clearly salvation is by faith alone. And so this book of Hebrews bringing out Rahab, and we find it in verses 30 and 31. Let me just read that section here for us.
Sure.
We read, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. And that's in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 30 and 31. And what's interesting is we read Rahab the harlot. That's what you see throughout Scripture, Rahab the harlot.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd think, because as we study through Joshua chapter 2, it's going to be obvious that Rahab's faith is going to be seen by her willingness to hide spies in her own home. I mean, her willingness to risk her own life to protect the men of Israel is strong evidence that she had already had changed her way of life. You think, well, why didn't the Lord's, you know, the Spirit have the writer of Hebrews say Rahab the believer?
Mm-hmm.
No, it's Rahab the harlot. Just like we read of Jesus' disciple, Simon the Zealot. Well, I mean, the Zealots, you know, they were trying to get power through murder, through assassinations, through a disruption. And obviously, Simon left all of that when he followed the Lord Jesus. But I think the Lord puts those in there for us to see that there is no one that cannot come to the Lord and see their life changed.
Yeah, and that he can do incredible things through even the worst of circumstances, the worst of situations.
Yeah. And in this passage in Hebrews, you know, Joshua isn't mentioned, but he is mentioned in that he was right there when the walls of Jericho fell down, which we'll get into in chapter 6 of Joshua. But I think really, Jack, one of the most amazing realities about the kingdom of God is the broad diversity that is found among those who become citizens of God's kingdom. I mean, from every walk of life. I mean, the Apostle Paul says, hey, I'm the chief of all sinners.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there have been people from all walks of life who've come to realize I need Jesus Christ to be my Savior.
And there's a reason why he says boast in our weaknesses, because we have tons of them.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
But it's Jesus that washes us.
And true believers really come, Jack, in all different shapes and sizes.
Oh, yeah.
People come to Christ from all sorts of backgrounds, from experiences, and yet we're brought together and we become one body through Jesus Christ. I mean, some grew up going to church, Sunday school, maybe they went to, you know, they were involved in Awana, and others grew up avoiding church altogether.
Mm-hmm.
Some grew up in a Christian home, some grew up in an anti-Christian, you know, environment, some grew up in the church pew every Sunday, and some grew up in the world's slime pit, so to speak.
Mm.
Some grew up under the sound of the word, while others, you know, they squeeze the world's philosophy into their life. You know, some grew up religious, others grew up irreligious, and some grew up just totally lost. Yet everyone needs to be born again, as Jesus told Nicodemus. But Jack, these godly faith believing saints in Hebrews 11, and we're looking at Rahab, again, a plethora of different backgrounds. And yet nowhere, I think, in Hebrews 11 do you see such a great contrast between two polar opposites of how they came to the Lord. You have Joshua under the tutelage of Moses, and then you have Rahab. Again, Joshua isn't explicitly named, but he is seen implicitly, for he was the leader of the children of Israel when they saw the walls of Jericho come tumbling down. And you would think, well, Joshua had a strong faith, and I believe Rahab, we could say, had a saving faith. You know, Rahab is closely connected to Joshua. That's why, you know, even when we were studying in Hebrews 11, we spent time in Joshua chapter 2. Because she was in the city of Jericho when the walls came down. You know, the average Christian gets to Hebrews 11, and they start reading through the list of these great heroes of the faith. You know, Abel, you know, of course, and Enoch, he deserved to be translated up to God in heaven. Then you got Noah, definitely, Abraham, Sarah. Sarah is the only other woman mentioned in Hebrews 11.
Hmm.
Moses certainly is no surprise. But I don't think anyone would ever think Rahab.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to the great faith chapter, Rahab. You
yes.
talk about famous for all the wrong reasons. You talk about connections and they're all the wrong ones. Talk about the last person you would ever think that would be converted to faith in the living God. Here she is, Rahab. And I can promise you that she wasn't saved by her good works.
Mm-mm.
God informs us that faith can come from the lives of the most unlikely of people. And we're going to pick up, coming up this week, again, the emphasis of Rahab and what God did through her life and what she did in protecting God's people. I hope you'll continue to join us for our study in the book of Joshua, and especially right now with Rahab. We trust that you have a great day and that the Lord would use you in a wonderful way.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer, or would like information on the Word for Life, would like to donate to help continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org. Or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.